Hey folks, just here. Well, happy Monday. The Happy Mondays is actually one of my favorite bands from England, so happy Monday to you wherever you're at today. Today's my day off. I'm in Panera Bread, my second or third office, having a cup of black coffee. I've been for about nearly 2 years now, I've been doing intermittent fasting, where I fast every morning or every day till about 1 p.m. So black coffee is a really important thing in my life right now. But I trust you well, having a good day. I actually really love Mondays. Monday's my 50,000 foot day, where I tend to just sort of zoom out and look at things with vision, and so good. I was just reading the verse that just this verse popped up me today. I've often thought about it, or sometimes thought about it anyway. Luke 11:49, where Jesus is talking, and then it's funny, Jesus talks about the wisdom of God as a person, and in Luke 11:49, Jesus says, "Then the wisdom of God said, I will send them apostles and prophets." And my point in saying this today is, I was just thinking about this, about how much I appreciate wisdom. I think when I was young, I loved signs and wonders and miracles, and I still do. I'm still young and I still love signs, wonders, and miracles. And yet, you know, the sun here, but you know, the older I get, the more I just fall in love with the wisdom of God. And the more I realize, you know, the Bible says by wisdom everything was founded. Wisdom is the foundation thing, the principal thing. And I see, you know, as well as being a pastor as well, you know, when people, to misquote Schindler, you know, people are my business. And you see it's interesting, being a traveling ministry, you kind of do signs and wonders, you blow in, blow up, and blow out, and maybe come back 6 months or a year later to the same setting. But being long-term with people, you see the same thing cycle. You see life moves in cycles, people move in cycles, and you know, right now we're in snow season. We had a horrible snow storm yesterday here in New England. You know, part of me still British, I really hate snowstorms, where especially as a pastor, it means I have to get up, I have to do loads of work, you know, spend $600 having my church parking lot cleared, and then we have to cancel church anyway, and you know, this sort of stuff. But here's my point today, this. I think one of the greatest keys we can have in life is learning from the cycles we go through, is learning from the situations we go through, is learning that we're going to go through the same things again and again and again until we learn to deal with them well, until we realize that we can't always change the external modalities, the externals that will happen to us. The only thing we're actually often in control of is our response. And it's funny how I was talking to a pastor about this earlier, but on Monday, it seems like pastors always get attacked on a Monday. Like Satan jumps out of the woodwork, and you know, the natives go crazy, or people start writing silly things about you. I had that happen to me today. And I know, you know, as a pastor, sometimes we want to create this ideal situation with mature people where nothing ever goes wrong, and it will never happen. The only thing we can really control is our response to that. So here's a few quick thoughts I was thinking about in my journal just now about how we can learn from the wisdom of God, how we can learn to respond to things well. But the first one is this: I think we should look for those repeating cycles. I think so often we go through these episodes, cycles, these events in our life, and in a way it's like a fight or flight thing. It's like, because that was horrible, we don't want to deal with that again. It's like we immediately move on, brush it under the carpet, and go into the same situation. When the same situation happens again, we aren't prepared for it because we've sort of mentally blocked it out. I think it's actually worth looking at your life and thinking, if you keep getting in the same circumstance, in the same situation again and again and again, well, it could be other people, but it could be you. Or there could be something to learn about that. So look for those repeat cycles. You know, secondly, learn to recognize your fleshly gut reactions when you get into some of those circumstances. Learn to, from a kind of detached point of view, look and see how you react when you're in those situations, and learn to recognize those triggers that will cause you to react poorly to those. learn to look from the outside, learn to pray, say, Holy Spirit, search my heart, you know me. How are the ways I'm reacting that you don't want me to react? How can I learn from that? Here's a great key as well. Number three, when you're in one of these kind of like cycles where the world wants to kind of pull your chain and you end up like a dog chasing your tail, learn to stop. Learn to stop. Learn to push back on the push. Learn to push back on the pressure. Learn to, Kenneth Copeland calls it going low and going slow. That means when there's some crisis, the world's like hitting at you, go low, go slow. John 11, when Jesus is you know, in a kind of panic situation at tomb of Lazarus, all his friends are putting pressure, it's like I'm not going to react to pressure, I'm not going to react. Learn to, we make poor decisions at times when we make quick decisions. We make poor decisions when we make reactive decisions. You know, I've learned this over the years. Whenever somebody's like mad about something or crazy about something, I'm like, great, let's make a time, let's sit down and, you know, put down a time to talk about this. And quite often, but two or three days later, when that time comes, they're in a very different place emotionally, or maybe I am, or other things like that. So learn to go slow, learn to go low, learn to not react to the pressure, learn to respond to the Lord rather than reacting to the pressure in your life. Come on, key number four, what would Jesus do? Remember those silly little bangles people wore 20, 30 years ago? But it's actually just a really great thing of saying, what would Jesus do? Or more importantly, Lord, what do you want to do here? Oh Lord, the new creation, the person you're calling me to be, how do you want that person to respond to this situation? Yeah, what does the best version of me do? What can I be really, really proud of later? I'd love to do that, especially when I'm in a kind of leadership situation where I'm working with a team. I'll sometimes say to that team, it's like I'll brainstorm, get a paper on the page, a paper on the table, and say, how can we react now that we'll look back in the future and be really, really proud of how we responded, how we reacted, you know, when somebody's betraying you, stabbing you in the back, whatever, and you bless them and you send them some money and pray for them and just love on them. And how can we really please? I don't think it always pleases God that we go through things, but it pleases, we can please God in the way we respond to them. So what would Jesus do? What would Jesus in you do? And what is the, if our response to a situation in a way determines who we are becoming, who do we want to become? So a really great key there. Come on, key number five, learn to build some great kingdom knee-jerk responses. Yeah, you know, our flesh has these knee-jerk responses, these kind of automatic responses, if I can call it that way, where somebody says something and your flesh wants to go, how dare you talk to me like that, or who do you think you are, or you'll get defensive and all those things. And learn to develop some knee-jerk responses that come from the kingdom of God, that when somebody taps you, you immediately respond with love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, self-control, temperance, you know, all those things, the fruit of the Spirit. Learn to react and get to the place. I think we can get to the place in the Lord where, you know, somebody punches us and we turn the other cheek, where somebody hurts us and we say, I forgive you. Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're just growing. They're just young. So learn those. Learn to ingrain new kingdom-esque responses. And lastly, sow into victory. Again, I think we're going to go through cycles. You know, it's on my to-do list today to buy some Spotify stock. some of you might have seen what's happening with Spotify in the last few days. And I mean, number one, I just honor that they're actually, they have some guts and are taking the right decision. But number two, you know, all this emotional reaction and the stock has just tanked. But I was looking at their vitals and actually really believe in them as a company and think they're doing some great things, are going in the right direction. So here's my point. Whenever you're in a in a crisis, sow into victory, sow into your future. Sometimes the very best time to sow is in famine, is in crisis, is in attack. Sow some seeds that you'll be really grateful. And I think quite often we're in this kind of cycle, again, the winter cycle, if you will, the attack cycle, the thing like that. And all we want to do is get through it. All we want to do is we want the sun to shine and the snow to melt You know, if you're in a season you're not happy with right now, say, Lord, what are the seeds I can sow which will produce victory? What are the trees I can plant right now that will be bearing fruit in the future? So sow into victory. Boom. Come on, so just some thoughts there. Let's grow in wisdom. Let's acquire the wisdom of God. I'll finish with that, but years ago in the 80s, one of my mentors said to me, Graham, read one chapter of the book of Proverbs every day. I can't say I do it every day, but I do it most days, and there's so much wisdom that God wants us to have. And I think at times we are, it's like we're crying out for deliverance, we're crying out for a miracle. And God is saying, no, wisdom. Remember James 1? James says, my son, count it joy when you fall into temptations, testing, and trials. Knowing this, the trying of your faith works patience. And then James carries on, James 1, and he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him cry out to God for wisdom, and God will give it to you. Don't cry out, God, get me out of here. Don't cry out, beam me up, Scotty. Cry out for wisdom, and the wisdom of God is there. Wisdom cries aloud. Wisdom is available to those who want it. So I am cheering you on. If I can pray for you in any way today, drop me a line, or if you just want to say hi, love to hear from you, and hope to see you soon in the plan of the Lord. What would God, go well, go strong. Bye for now.